reception, or a communications relay. Why wouldn't they announce it? The surveillance man shrugged exaggeratedly. You know the Russians. A riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. The director frowned at him. Our job is to solve riddles, whatever they're wrapped in. Nodding glumly, the surveillance man said, We're watching, sir. Wish we had some humint on the ground, though. I'll see what I can do, said the director, already halfway out of his chair. Tomorrow. Dawn was just beginning to brighten the Oklahoma sky when Dan awoke gradually, like a scuba diver rising slowly from the dark depths toward the sunlit surface of the sea. As he opened his eyes, for an instant he didn't recognize where he was. Then he turned his head and there was Jane, sleeping peacefully beside him. He grinned and turned on his side to cup his body against hers. She awoke with a start, then relaxed and grinned over her bare shoulder at him.
You're poking me.
Your snoring woke me up, he said.
I don't snore, and you're poking me.
Natural reaction, said Dan. There's only one way to cure it.
Only one? She teased.
There are certain variations, he admitted, stroking her flank.
Such as?
It was full morning when they finally got out of bed and showered. Dan made an elaborate show of peeking out into the corridor to make certain none of the servants saw him coming out of Jane's bedroom.
I'll go mess up the bed in the guest room, he whispered to her.
She tossed a towel at him.
Go to the kitchen and tell the cook what you want for breakfast. I'll be there in a few minutes.
Dan waltzed down the corridor and found the kitchen. Buenos dias, he said brightly to the cook. She gave him a fishy look.
What do you like for breakfast, sir?
Dan almost blurted that he needed a batch of vitamin E. He caught himself, though, and ordered huevos rancheros with grapefruit juice and black coffee. Jane came in just as the cook put Dan's eggs on the table before him. She slipped into the padded chair in the breakfast nook beside him, her expression very serious.
Dan, she said, leaning close to him, this isn't going to work.
His light-hearted mood evaporated.
What we're doing is wrong, Dan, Jane said earnestly. Just plain wrong.
Felt good to me, he mumbled.
Be serious.
He looked into her beautiful, troubled eyes. For what it's worth, this is driving me crazy.
We've got to stop.
Or tell Scanwell what the score is.
No, we can't do that.
I could.
Dan, no!
I could walk right up to him tomorrow and say, Hey, pal, your wife and I are in love with each other.
Please, Dan.
It's the truth, isn't it?
That's only part of the truth.
He felt a dull, sullen resentment building up inside him. And the rest of it is that you think his becoming president is more important than you and me.
It is, Dan. It truly is.
Is it?
It's important to your work, too, she said earnestly. It will mean so much to all of us, to everyone.
Glancing down at his untouched breakfast, Dan pushed his chair back from the table. Okay. You go get your husband elected president. I've got to get back to the office and get that satellite running. Jane made no attempt to stop him. Matagorda Island, Texas. Dan's foul mood only worsened as he flew the Staggerwing back to Matagorda. He tried to forget about Jane and the mess his personal life was in. Yeah, he told himself as he banked the biplane around a massive thunderhead that was building up above the Texas plain. Forget about her. That's easy, like forgetting about breathing. Think about business, he commanded himself. Get your mind off Jane and Scanwell. Stop thinking about them together. All right, concentrate on business. What if something goes wrong with the satellite? You'll have every VIP you could coax down to Matagorda standing there watching. What if something goes wrong? You'll be laughed out of business, that's what. Like that old Vanguard rocket back in the beginning of the space age. Everybody in the world watching and it blows up 4 feet above the launch stand. So what can I do about it? Dan asked himself. We push the button and the power sat doesn't turn on. Some glitch. Something goes wrong. The stagger wing bounced through a layer of turbulence as he began his descent toward the airstrip at Matagorda. I ought to have the space plane ready to go, Dan realized. Have the bird on the pad with a dare and a maintenance crew ready to take off at a moment's notice. That's what the space plane's for, after all. Quick reaction. Immediate access to orbit. As he cranked down the biplane's landing gear and lined up on the airstrip, Dan made up his mind. Put the space plane on the pad. Have her ready to go if an emergency comes up. That means the launch crew has to come into work today and the rest of the weekend, too. Garrison's controller won't like that. The plane's wheels touched the concrete with a screech and twin puffs of rubber. Dan let it roll to the end of the strip, thinking, if we have the space plane ready to go, even if there's a glitch, the news media will have a launch to photograph. So we'll spend a little more of Garrison's money, so what? It was nearly noon by the time he pushed through the double doors of the newly painted control center building. Standing in the midst of the quietly tense technicians, Lynn Van Buren yanked off her headset when she saw Dan coming up the aisle between the consoles toward her.
Glad you could make it, she said, a grin dimpling her cheeks. We were about to start her up without you.
I was unavoidably detained, Dan muttered. Eyeing him up and down, she said, My God, Chief, your clothes look as if you've slept in them. Dan broke into a wolfish grin. That I did not do.
Lucky girl.
Are we investigating my sex life or getting the power sat on the air? He demanded, trying to sound severe.
Everything's up and running, Chief. Everybody's in place. Even Mr. Al-Bashir dropped in.
She pointed to the Tunisian who was sitting at one of the spare consoles, a headset clamped over his dark hair. Dan felt his face tighten into a frown. Al-Bashir sticking his nose into every damn thing, he grumbled silently. Then he thought, he's your conduit to the money. You'll just have to put up with him. Everything seemed to be humming along efficiently, Dan saw. The technicians were bent over their tasks at their consoles, display screens flickering with images and data. He went to the console where Al-Bashir was sitting and tapped him on the shoulder. Al-Bashir looked up, startled for a moment, then relaxed into a smile.
This is exciting, he said.
Nodding, Dan said, It sure is. Something in Al-Bashir's eyes troubled Dan. There was more than excitement there, more than anticipation. The man's eyes glowed as if this moment was going to be a personal triumph for him. Dan heard himself warn, Don't touch any buttons. Al-Bashir chuckled politely.
Not to worry. Your Mrs. Van Buren has disconnected all the controls on this keyboard. I am a passive spectator, nothing more.
But his eyes told Dan there was a lot more going on than that. Excusing himself, Dan went back to where Van Buren was standing in the central aisle. I want the space plane on the pad ready for launch. Now.
Now?
She gasped. Now. This afternoon. Get Jerry Adair and the maintenance geeks and tell them to hold themselves in readiness for an immediate launch.
But why? What's...
Today is Saturday, Dan said, jabbing a finger at her for emphasis. Tomorrow's the big turn-on in front of all the VIPs, right? Van Buren nodded, still confused by his insistence. If anything goes wrong with the test today, if anything screws up at the big ceremony tomorrow... I want a crew ready to belt the hell out of here and get up there and fix the bird. Understand? Recognition finally dawned in Van Buren's eyes.
Oh, I see. But everything's been going so well.
Murphy's Law, Lynn. If anything goes wrong, I want us to be able to fix it pronto.
For what it's worth, Chief, I don't think it's going to be necessary.
Do it anyway.
It'll be so damned expensive.
Do it, Dan snapped. To hell with the money. I want to be ready for any emergency. Then he let a hint of a smile bend his lips slightly. Besides, it'll give the camera crews some sexy footage with the space plane sitting up there ready to go at an instant's notice.
Okay, she said reluctantly. We'll have to get some LOX and hydrogen here, PDQ. They'll charge premium rates, you know.
Let 'em, Dan said. It's Garrison's money. Van Buren went to the central console and picked up its phone. After a few minutes, she returned to where Dan was standing, arms folded across his chest.
Okay. Adair and the crew are entitled to overtime pay and flight pay, too, if they have to go up.
Dan grunted.
Strictly business, Chief, Van Buren said, fixing the headset over her mouse-brown hair. Strictly business.
They went through the final checkout swiftly. One by one, the technicians reported that the subsystems they were monitoring were set to go. It's a simple machine, Dan told himself, as the technicians went through the